You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We all know that 2021 is going to be a big year for Malaysians to think about. Of course, we're entering the second half of the year in a few days' time. Timely for the Statistics Department of Statistics Malaysia to produce the GDP by state report for 2020. They say that the economic performance of all states, including the Federal Territory, recorded a negative growth for last year. However, eight states grew at a better pace than the 5.6% contraction by the national GDP. According to the Department of Statistics, the subsequent release of the Malaysian GDP of 11th May 2021 shows that the detailed findings from sectoral perspective as well as economic composition at the state level contributes to the national performance of last year. And within it, we see some sectors, including construction and all the other services sectors and many others. But one item that remains to be seen is, of course, manufacturing and, of course, retail. Both are very interlinked with the logistics business of the country. And we don't have to think a lot about all the big companies. We also think about the smaller retail sellers out there. They all need to work with the logistic partners that exist in this country. So here to understand and unpack the logistics business, as well as try to understand the company a little bit better, we have Ninja Van joining us. How are you, Azim?
I'm good, Ibrahim. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, let's pick your brains on this one. What do you think is currently happening in the country when it comes to the economic vitality of the businesses and the people within it? Do you see an uptrend or a downtrend when it comes to the logistics business? Where is the trajectory heading towards the second half of this year?
Well, so I think the pandemic has really created, while it has impacted many businesses, it's also created a lot of opportunities for many businesses, pushing them to be innovative and creative in, you know, response to this new normal. So when it comes to local businesses, like the majority of retail, brick and mortar stores, as well as distributors, they're always, at this point in time, after this 1 year in the pandemic, they are now, I think everyone's actively looking for new ways to reach customers directly in an effort to diversify their dependence on traditional retail and footfall. So specifically for the logistics industry, I think this has given us a lot of opportunities to showcase our capabilities to support this sort of demand in providing both offline and online support required by local businesses to operate during this time. So since the start of the pandemic, we've actually seen our logistics volume grow over 2.53x from the first MCO, which I believe it should be March 18th. And during the second the lockdown, which is FMCO phase one, we saw another 2x growth. So we're extremely optimistic about the logistics space for the second half of the year.
Okay, and of course, while the logistics industry is one of those rare industries that actually blossomed during the MCO, it remains to be seen whether or not the rest of the sectors in this economy is going to do well as well. In fact, if you just look around, F&B is closing up, retail shop lots is closing up, and many other businesses as well. So how do you think this is transitioning from one business area, which is, you know, face-to-face brick and mortar kind of environment, versus the kind of logistics, e-commerce kind of scenario? How do you see the transition taking place? Do you feel this is healthy for the country? And what is in store for us in the days after the MCO is going to be lifted?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that's a great question. What will happen to parcel delivery volumes after post-pandemic, basically, right? So I think as long as there are restrictions and movement control orders, that parcel volume will continue to grow. But what the pandemic has done is it's not so much it's driven up e-commerce volume, but rather it's driven up e-commerce adoption, right? So now e-commerce is now an acceptable method of sales for a lot more for a lot more Malaysians now than it was pre-pandemic. So what will happen post-pandemic? I think everyone at this point in time is just it's itching to go out, right? And we, I think, post-pandemic, we expect there to be a lot of travel, a lot of socializing, a lot of outdoor activities. And therefore, we do expect a correction in the market. We do expect a slight dip in parcel volumes. But because the adoption has already been driven up during the pandemic, we expect the market to continue to grow in the next 5 years. If I can quote MCMC, I think MCMC are forecasting a growth of a doubling from 15 parcels per capita per year to 30 parcels per capita per year in the next 5 years.
The item is also important for us to discuss is on sellers out there. They're trying to reach more consumers, and some of them are even thinking of exporting. They've never exported before. What would be some of the ideas that you can share with us when it comes to Ninja Van, providing such services, not just distributing internally, but of course overseas as well?
No, absolutely. So, so international deliveries is actually something that we have been trying to push to a lot of our sellers in Malaysia in the past few years. Because if you think about e-commerce, right? So e-commerce is made up of three different pillars. The first one being the platform, which is basically how you sell your goods. The second one being payment, which is basically how you pay for your goods. And the third one being logistics, how you get your goods delivered. So in general, the first two platforms exist in the digital space. So if you're selling a, purely a digital item, you can sell, a Malaysian can sell to anyone in all over the world, right? Because the platform is global and the payment platform is also global. So it's really the logistics that's holding it back. So what we've done in the past few years is really start rolling out international deliveries for a lot of our merchants. So we're trying to, because Ninja Van has coverage in over six countries in Southeast Asia, we're trying to push for Malaysian shippers to be able to sell to anyone all across Southeast Asia. Obviously, there will be limitations with regards to customs regulations and import duties in different countries. But that's something that we're actually actively trying to do, and we encourage all our shippers to do to expand their horizons.
Would this mean that they need to work closely with the government or governmental agencies? Will logistics providers such as yourself aid these kind of merchants to make their lives a little bit easier? Or this was never part of the plan, but is now seen as a value-add service for your clients?
So it's actually so there's no need to work with. I think a lot of it can already be done by the sellers themselves. It's just that a lot of these sellers, they've never actually considered to selling. Like Malaysian sellers have never actually considered to selling to anyone in Singapore or anyone in the southern part of Thailand, where there are a lot of like cultural similarities, for example. So actually, at this point in time, there's no need for any government support. I do believe that a lot of these sellers can do it on their own. It's just a matter of building the right platform and getting the right sales strategy to close these kind of customers.
It's also important to discuss the kind of landscape that you guys are operating in. And while there are plenty to choose from when it comes to logistics partners, there's also that kind of stiff competition that exists between the providers. And I don't see you guys as fierce enemies. It's also looking at frenemies, I suppose. In trying to make it work for the e-commerce players, retail sellers, and so on. How do you intertwine your business with the existing competition right now? Do you feel that the competition is very stiff? Does this bring prices down to a point where it might be untenable for you guys to continue or remain productive? Do you think that there should be some sort of amalgamation between the players? How's the competition looking like right now?
Oh, so I mean, we always, at Ninja Van, we always encourage competition, right? Because we believe that competition pushes the industry to be more innovative and progressive. So the competition, it's not, I wouldn't say that it's stiff. It's expected of a market that is very attractive to a lot of players all over the world, right? It's, I mean, e-commerce has been the hot topic for many, many years now. So, and logistics is a key part of supporting the growth of e-commerce. So we expect this sort of competition. With regards to the price depression in the market, we do see some. We do see the prices do go down a little bit in the past few years. But I believe that the government is actually stepping in now with this the package, which is called the National Courier Acceleration Plan. And part of that five-year strategic roadmap is actually to manage and to get a hold of the base rates in the courier industry. So we're actually looking forward to that as well.
We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss more with Ninja Van. Thanks for staying on. I have with me Azim Halim, the CEO of Ninja Van Malaysia.
Halim, if you look around the region, there's a lot of partnerships that have been struck by Ninja Van. Ninja Van Philippines, for instance, have partnered with Ministop. The same goes with Singapore and all the other places. In Malaysia, I'm pretty sure that you are very aggressive in terms of partnering up with your player, with other industries. What would be some of the thinking when it comes to partnerships, at least within your ambit, within Malaysia? What would be some of the items that you look for when it comes to trying to grow the business through partnerships?
So I think we look at other companies who are that we can leverage on each other's assets, for example. So last year, for example, we struck a three-way partnership with Grab and Zalora. So Grab also happens to be one of our investors. And we decided to work with Zalora to enable Zalora customers to use the Grab application to drop off parcels that they would like to return at any one of our Ninja Van stores. So we, yeah. So I mean, this is an example of one of the types of partnerships that we like to build. We've also recently started working with 7-Eleven a few months ago, where we actually, through the 7-Eleven platform and Ninja Van Logistics, we enable customers to be able to, if they're not home or they're unable to receive your parcels at home, we actually enable 7-Eleven stores to receive parcels on behalf of customers, where the customers can then pick it up at a time of their choosing, which is obviously incredibly convenient, given that 7-Elevens are allowed to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
It's also important for us to talk about the fundraising aspect of Ninja Van. And of course, you mentioned earlier that Grab is a funder, and there are talks about taking the company public. And you know, I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of plans when it comes to growing a startup like Ninja Van aggressively. What would be some of the plans that are currently in the pipeline for you guys to share with us today?
So business strategy, I mean, business growth plans in the coming year really will be on two fronts for Malaysia. So the thing is, Malaysia in the Ninja Van network, we're a bit more of a mature market, and we've already achieved 100% coverage in Malaysia. So really it'll just be two things. The first one would be increasing and expanding our services to a wider range of industries that is more non-e-commerce in the non-e-commerce markets. For example, insurance, fintech, beauty, as well as direct sales. So we started on this journey about 6 to 8 months ago, and we made some headway working with companies like Bijak, who do online road tax renewals, Estee Lauder, a very prominent traditional beauty retailer, as well as Amway. And past year, we've helped these companies transition from a more traditional sales channel to more omni-channel model. The second key point of focus would be to support the growth of local entrepreneurs, in particular social commerce sellers. So what we've seen in during the time of the pandemic is that we see a lot of Malaysians buying and selling items on social platforms, right? So there are unstructured transactions, and they happen on platforms like Instagram, WhatsApp, online, and it's more like part-time work. It's a little bit like a side hustle for a lot of Malaysians. So they sell a small amount of items a day, maybe 2 to 5 items a day from the comfort of their own home. There's no office. It's really just a side hustle. And these sort of sellers, they don't really want the hassle of having to create an account or have to submit documents or pay an invoice at the end of every month. So the first step for us a few months ago was to really build a product that will support the growth of the social commerce, because we do see this segment growing very, very quickly at this point in time. So we had a product build. It's an innovative mobile-first prepaid polymailer solution specifically for social sellers, and they don't have to go through the hassle of packing, taping, labeling, printing anything. It's really just receive, pack, seal, and drop it off at one of our 4,000 points all over Malaysia. So it's really quite hassle-free. Yeah, but it'll really be these two things.
Sorry, I just want to stick on to that. What was the term you used? It's not social enterprise, is it?
Social commerce sellers.
All right, social commerce sellers. Okay, fantastic. I've learned something new today. So this social commerce sellers, do you feel that this is indicative of the economic constraint that the country is going through right now? Do you feel that this is... there's something more deeper, I suppose, to the economic woes that all of us are going through right now?
So I think because of the economic downturn, because of the pandemic, it's difficult to say. But we have, I mean, from my observations, right, even prior to the pandemic, there are countries in Southeast Asia, like Thailand, for example, which has a huge population of social commissaries. And this was even before the pandemic. So, but because in Malaysia, the pandemic happened, it could have been the trigger or the spark that ignited this sort of social entrepreneurship. But at this point in time, it's very difficult to say. But I do think that even if pandemic didn't happen, that this was the national progression for commerce, for online commerce in Malaysia.
Okay, still on the social commissaries, do you feel that this could be a trend, i.e. while it's growing right now, when things normalize? See, I'm very hopeful and optimistic in that sense. When things do normalize, when MCO is lifted, when we finally come to live with COVID-19 and living it as in this is being an endemic rather than a pandemic, do you feel that, you know, this kind of cohort, so to speak, the social commissaries that you're working with, is just going to disappear?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I actually think that social commerce is here to stay. The reason being is because as e-commerce evolves, right, I think there will be a demand for a more niche segments and more niche categories, right? And what the difference between social commerce is really about product discovery, right? Where you are fed, if you follow, for example, if you were, Ibrahim, if you were to follow someone on Instagram, for example, and they sell different things, it's not purely a buying experience, but it's also a product. It's also content. It's like an amalgamation of content as well as shopping at the same time. So you look at different things, and they'll post different things, and then you'll want to reach out, right? And it's not, and you'll be able to speak to someone. You'll be able to WhatsApp them, and they'll tell you, hey, this is the product, this and this, and you'll ask, do you have different colors? And it makes the social, it makes the discovery experience a lot more social, as I would say. So it's not just you're clicking things, add to cart, you're buying, you're checking out. It's a lot more interactive to experience. So I do think that commerce, there will be a specific segment of commerce that will be dedicated to this. And that it will definitely grow in the coming years.
Okay, which brings to mind the bigger idea right now, which is automation, which is trying to make things driven by AI. We've seen how Alibaba is doing it. We've seen how Amazon is doing it really well at that. Do you feel that this could be a trajectory where NinjaVan is heading into, not just about parcel deliveries and assisting social commerce sellers, but perhaps to build something more than that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we actually do use a lot of algorithms when it comes particularly to our parcel delivery routing. We use what's called a seed algorithm, which will then automatically tell us which is the best type of parcels to assign to different drivers. And on top of that, we run addressing algos, because in Malaysia, what's quite unique to Malaysia is that addressing can be a little bit painful. So for example, Jalan Besar in Malaysia, if you Google that, you'll come up with like 10 different locations all over Malaysia. So how do you find what the exact address is? So we use AI and algorithms to help with our delivery routing, and actually a lot of our future plans revolve around automation, especially when it comes to parcel sorting. So okay. That's it's more of an eventuality for us.
But they, you know, like these companies that we mentioned earlier, they still use a lot of human workers. Mainly for the kind of connecting works that you know, you move from a one automation kind of algorithm a chain to another. Do you feel that the role for workers are still there despite all this automation?
So I think in warehousing and fulfillment, which is generally where automation is more prevalent in companies like Amazon and Alibaba. That's where you can sort of replace human labor a bit more freely. But in a company where, in our company, NinjaVan, where we focus on last mile logistics, it's almost impossible to fully automate every single process, because ultimately you need someone to drive the truck, or you need someone to drive the van, and you need someone to take the bike. So we might be able to automate certain portions of the delivery chain, for example, the parcel sorting or the palletization. But ultimately, we know and we understand that it's humans are our ultimate resource.
Okay. Final question on this is, of course, the evolving consumer needs that we spoke about. Do you think that the infrastructure that exists within the country is actually supporting that change in consumer needs? Do you feel that, you know, our internet connection is stable enough? Do you feel that the key partners that you're working with, the e-commerce outlets like Shopee and Lazada, are working smart enough? Do you feel that the ecosystem is vibrant enough for a company like yours, like NinjaVan, to continue to thrive in this country?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, so I think with regards to infrastructure, I think we're okay for where we are now. But I mean, in line with the package program that I shared earlier with MCMC, I think we have quite the program actually lays out quite aggressive initiatives, aggressive targets that the industry needs to hit in the next 5 years to support the demand. So when it comes to Shopee and working with platforms like Shopee and Lazada, I do believe that they are constantly pushing the envelope and pushing us to do more and to improve our service. So I don't think there are any qualms there.
Okay. Finally, second half of the year is starting. Do you feel that the business is bright in terms of going into the second half or the third quarter? Do you feel that profitability is here the same way you saw in the first two quarters of this year?
Yeah, so actually, with the way, I mean, we're actually quite optimistic on the outlook of the second half of the year. We're quite confident that even if there is a market correction, as I shared earlier, because adoption is so high, that volumes, the market in the long term will continue to grow. So with regards to profitability, I think, I mean, we're also quite positive on the outlook.
Fantastic. Okay, that was Azim Alim, the CEO of NinjaVan Malaysia. If you've missed part of the show, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad over there. You can also type in NinjaVan on our website. You can view these kind of episodes on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.